for the morning to your pizza. You smoothie, me ice cold pizza. Cafe ole, latte da. You do the Zumba, but I do not. Give me like half a marathon. I'll give you the gospel of St. John. Hits me like a wake-up bomb. Cause we both know that it's mercy flows in the morning.
Praise God. Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Jesus believers all over the world. I set my faith in agreement with Jesus believers this morning. Well, I'm sure you'd like to know what happened with Savannah. God, I'm offering this testimony up as a prayer to you this morning. First of all, let me tell you this. The hospital tried to file, tried to get a warrant for her parents, for Savannah's parents, for child endangerment, and they were going to lock them up. But they couldn't find a judge, listen to this, to sign the warrant. So they sent, they put out, you know how they check your license plate thing? And they found the church that they were at, and they were going to try to send some police to the church. But it seems that the police were en route, but they knew that they didn't have a warrant. And by the time they got there, Savannah's parents took her and laid her on the altar. You see, it was a sunrise service at churches. A lot of churches had churches. I don't know why. Even during this pandemic. So they took her to their church. They laid her on the altar, wrapped up in her sheets from the hospital and everything. Well, I want to share this with you. I want to thank you for praying, and I make no apologies. Savannah set up and asked for some birthday cake and ice cream, rolled her little body out the sheet that she was wrapped up in, and started talking to her parents saying, I told you, mommy, I told you, daddy, he was going to raise me up. Savannah got up. Wasn't nobody in the church. They tell me, and with her little body, she just started praising Jesus and asking for the cake and the ice cream because she missed her birthday cake and ice cream on her birthday because she was sick. And all she wanted was a birthday cake and some ice cream. And they tell me that by then the pastor had called the people to the church to come see this little girl. She's very much underweight. And by the time the police got there, it wasn't no case. Now, the people from the hospital and the police got in an argument. They tell me. So it wound up, detectives came, police came, hospital people came. But the bottom line is, I want to thank you all for praying for Savannah. Savannah is 100% completely healed. Healed. And all she wanted was birthday cake and ice cream. And her little body tolerated it. You see? God still works miracles. God still heals those who have the faith of a little child. God still has parents that love their children so much to respond to the request of a seven-year-old. Savannah is completely healed. It's a miracle. The doctors won't say it's a miracle. However, Savannah has 24-hour, people watching over her, because now they took her back to the hospital trying to find out what happened. You know about that, Jessica. They trying to examine her to find out what the parents did. The parents didn't do anything but believe Jesus. Because little Savannah was at the point of, I'm not afraid to die. Because this is what they all told her at the hospital without telling her. Little Savannah had been given hours to live. That's why they had called the parents and I said, get all the family members here. But I'm here to tell you, when they get through at the hospital, and guess what else? Little Savannah is, everything is healed. Everything. And so the doctor asked little Savannah, they say, what happened? And you know what Savannah said? Jesus did what he told me he was going to do. That's a whole conversation. They say, what happened to you? Jesus did what he told me he was going to do. And they say, well, what did Jesus tell you he was going to do? And she said, he was going to raise me up. Now, I don't know if she really knows what that means, or I don't know. All I know is what she said, and that's all they know. But they got all the medical records, all the hospital records that said she was going to be dead in a couple of hours. But she's not dead. She's yet alive. And the experience with her, again, has changed my life. And guess who healed her? Guess who raised her up? She'll tell you, Jesus. She will tell you it was Jesus. And they tried, you know how the police and the doctors and people are, the children's protection or whatever. They say, what did Jesus look like? I mean, the innocence of a child. She said, he looked like Jesus. looked like Jesus. That's what she said. He looked like Jesus. I feel like this is the beginning of miracles. They say that the people, they had to unhandcuff the dead. But you see, they risked going to jail for their kid. The mom came back to Christ. The dad, we don't know exactly. I mean, he happy, he can't believe it. But yet and still he can't. And guess what else? The dad had the calling of God on his life, and he had rejected God's calling. The whole family got healed and restored. The people and the pastor, I say, what did the pastor say? They say, he ain't said nothing. He was just standing there looking. Because he had given up hope. But Savannah never doubted what Jesus had said. I'm so happy. I'm so full that God allowed me to be a partaker, a spectator. You don't ever know who's going to be on the other side of the phone when you say hello. But I always know one thing. That there's going to be a devil in the background somewhere that's got to be defeated. You know, all I could say is what they were saying in prayer here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. That's all they were saying. Because I couldn't think of any words. I couldn't think of any words. And the thing is, all she wanted was a birthday cake. Excuse me. All she wanted was a birthday cake and some ice cream. To God be the glory. To those of you that came into agreement with me and prayed, I want you to know God answered the prayer. And this is what I want you to know. She didn't have no long discourse. She didn't say 40 million scriptures. She was sent as a living witness. And her witness was, Jesus said it. I believe it. And she had no fear. She had no fear. I don't even think she knows what fear is. I don't know. Childlike faith. Childlike. You're right. Childlike faith. She had childlike faith. Whew. You got to lay some of that stuff down. And you got to pick up where you left off with your childlike faith. I know it changed me. I'm not the same, but I ain't been the same in a long time. Childlike faith. It feels so good. It felt good waking up this morning, being alive, knowing one life has been changed by Jesus. But he said he wouldn't. And then Christ Fellowship was on. Y'all know Christ Fellowship, Georgia Revival. And in the message, I thought this was good. Every miracle in the Bible, they done experienced it there with the baptismal water. But he finally got around. You see, when I first came here, these people were not, they didn't really believe in deliverance too much. You know, it was in there. But they ain't really believe in it. They never really, some of the preachers talked about it. But yesterday, they showed where they had to do, and they used the term exorcism. They showed people getting free from demonic activity. It is so important, you ministers, that you learn. Just obey God. Just do what God told you to do. Don't worry about nobody else. Don't worry about if somebody don't like you because what you do. It doesn't matter. None of that stuff matters. As long as Jesus, and you know it's Jesus, tells you to do what is in agreement with his word, you know it's him. You know it is him. And just obey him. Just obey him. So somebody said to me that I got a text. I got a lot of texts yesterday, as a matter of fact. And I'm glad you had a blessed holiday. Somebody said, I was getting mad with you because you didn't even pray for them. I said, how you know what I do? You don't know me that well. You don't know me that well. How you know what I do when I get off this line? How you know what I do as I'm talking to you right now? I'm praying at the same time. Because the Bible says that men ought to always pray. Always. I don't have to have no special occasion to pray. I pray all the time. That's why it's called to, that's why you're called to have a prayer life. So that when things come up, you're already ready. You're already ready. You shouldn't have to drum up no prayer because something happened. You should stay ready through prayer. You should have an established prayer life. Okay? I'm feeling good about Jesus this morning. I'm feeling real good about Jesus this morning. And you know why? We got 49 days to Pentecost Sunday. 49 days to the day of the birth of the church. Pentecost Sunday is 50 days from Resurrection Sunday. So I'm in anticipation of God doing great things in the next 49 days. It would have been 50, but, well, yeah, 50 from today, 50. Pentecost Sunday, the birth of the church, 50 days from Easter or Resurrection Sunday. Now that's a celebration, the birth of the church. I'm expecting God to move wonderfully. Because this is what the Bible says, that after they went to that tomb, you know, Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus had cast seven devils, she was the first. She was the first. And she ran to the disciples and they didn't even believe her. So then the Bible says that Jesus appeared in another form, unto two of his disciples. And they went and told it. And they didn't believe him either. Ain't that something? So then it says that Jesus supernaturally appeared unto them, unto the 11. And that Jesus rebuked them. Jesus straightened them out, in other words. Okay? He rebuked them. He scolded them. He scolded them. Why? Because of the unbelief and hardness of their heart. That's what he rebuked his own disciples for. Unbelief and the hardness of their heart. That's over there in where I just told you. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, Jesus rebuked his disciples because they had a hard heart and they had unbelief. Because they didn't believe those that came with the witness that had seen him alive. And then that's when he gave us the Great Commission. Right along with them. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And it says the signs are going to follow them that believe. It doesn't say that the signs are going to follow them that don't believe, because they're not. But he said, I'm going to give you these instructions. In my name, I want you to cast out devils. I want you to speak with new tongues. Oh, yeah, and by the way, I want you to take up serpents and scorpions. And I want you to understand that if you drink anything, it shall not hurt you. And I want you to do something else. He said, I want you to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then over there in 16:19, it says, so then after the Lord has spoken unto them, look at this. Jesus was received up into heaven. And the Bible says he sat down on the right hand of God, he sat down. But they, his disciples, went and preached everywhere, everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Post this in the chat room for me, about 8 people. You see, God has a testimony. God has a testimony. Post this for me, about 8 people. The testimony of God is the life of his son Jesus in 8 people. You got that? The testimony of God is the life of his son Jesus in 8 people. I don't see it. The testimony of God is the life of his son Jesus in a people. God got a testimony. Just like little Savannah has a testimony. But God's testimony is the life of Jesus in a people. You see, where we are right now, it's true that Jesus Christ was crucified, now risen from the dead, ascended to his Father's throne, and also living in you and I by the power of God's own Holy Spirit at the same time. So Christ is not still on the cross. Jesus Christ is not in a tomb. Jesus Christ is not dead, but he ever lives, according to Hebrews 7:25. You know, in the Bible, Hebrews 7:25, the Apostle Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The ministry of the Apostle Paul was anointed with power because the Bible says the Holy Spirit was up on him, just as the Holy Spirit was up on Jesus, and just as the Holy Spirit ought to be and is supposed to be up on you and up on I. Jesus said that those who follow him would, by the power of that same Holy Spirit, do the same works and greater works than he did. John 14:12. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I want you to ask yourself a question this morning. Is your faith resting in the ingenuity of men, or is your faith in the power of God? Only you can answer that question. We are declared to be the sons of God, not by following a man or a woman's sermons or their teachings or being involved in their programs, but we are declared to be the sons of God by being led by God's own Holy Spirit, Romans 8:14. So where we are right now, there's been a lot of emphasis on the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But not enough attention has been given to his ascension or his return to the Father in heaven. There's something very important in this event. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 to 11, the Bible tells us what happened to Jesus after 40 days of appearances following his resurrection. And then the Bible says, when he had said these things, as they were looking on, Jesus was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. The Bible says, and while they were gazing into heaven, as Jesus went up, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Hallelujah. You see, in the Living Bible, Luke 24, 50 through 53, says, "Then Jesus led them out along the road to Bethany, and lifting his hands to heaven, he blessed them. And then began rising into the sky and went on to heaven. And they worshiped him and returned filled with mighty joy." The Message Bible, Luke 24, 52-53, "He then led them out of the city over to Bethany. Raising his hands, he blessed them, and while blessing them, made his exit, being carried up to heaven. And they were on their knees worshiping him. They returned to Jerusalem, bursting with joy. They spent all their time in the temple praising God." It goes on to say, "Then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy." You see, first, the ascension of Jesus into heaven clearly marks the end of Christ's earthly ministry. What had begun in a manger in Bethlehem ended with his return to heaven. Second, the ascension marks the success of his earthly mission. Jesus had completed all of the assignment that the Father had designed for him to accomplish. His birth, miracles, teaching, death, resurrection, and appearances. They had all proven his divine nature. And Jesus had fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah's first advent. Third, the ascension marked the time when Jesus once again enjoyed his heavenly glory. You see, during Jesus' time on earth, with the exception of the transfiguration, brothers and sisters, Jesus, the Son of God, limited the expressions of his heavenly glory that he enjoyed prior to his earthly birth. Jesus' ascension began a new period during which Jesus would once again reign without limiting himself to his earthly role. But Jesus' ascension back to heaven marks the beginning of the time, hallelujah, when Jesus is preparing a place for his followers. Praise God. You see, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 2 and 3, he said, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Hallelujah. And last, I want you to remember this. Jesus' ascension, hallelujah, back to heaven with our Father was the indication, glory be to God, that the beginning, hallelujah, of his new work as high priest, as a mediator of the new covenant. Brothers and sisters, the ascension established the pattern for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus, just like he told the disciples, the angels proclaimed, Jesus will return just as he left. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the ascension. He's alive. And he's coming back. Jesus currently reigns in heaven. Jesus' ascension marks the beginning of the time in which the church can actively communicate the message, the good news of the gospel. His ascension, brothers and sisters, gives us time to bring many people to faith who will live with Jesus Christ for eternity, in the place that he has prepared for you and I. Hallelujah! He's coming again. He's yet alive. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. Glory be to God. All glory be to God. Glory be to God. You and I haven't seen anything yet, but we're about to. The whole world is about to. Because Jesus is alive. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is alive. He is alive. Get this in your spirit, man. Jesus is alive. You hear me?
Y'all ready to go to church? Come on, put them hands together. Come on, let's go to church. Y'all don't want to go no church with me.
Yeah. of the hero in you. Listen to your inner man speaking what you never dreamed through. Can you hear your
Savannah dad. He said he had to go sign in the jail because of the all that. But all he had to do, obviously, was sign in and sign out. And he just signed out, and he's on his way back to the hospital. And they hope to be on the line by the end of the week. So he signed in and he signed out of jail. Ain't that something? Praise God. Praise God.
Rampage. You're my everything.